from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
He's back! And now, it is 11th NBA season out of Washington State University! Number 11, Clay!
Klay Thompson with a catch down the lane, floats it up. It's good. There it is. Klay Thompson, welcome back. Thompson, the catch up top, has Allen as his defender, takes the big man to the right wing, crossover, goes right by him down the lane for the dunk. He dunked it. Curry picks up the dribble, feeds Porter. Porter chased out there by Allen, penetrates out to Klay for 3. Got it. And once again, a standing ovation at Chase Center for Klay Thompson. 12,000 career points now for Klay. Klay Thompson to sit down, listen to the ovation for Klay.
That was awesome. I mean, I love our Warrior fans. I know they were hurting for me the last 2 years, and that was special. I mean, I knew it was going to be electric tonight. I've tried to visualize this moment for years, really. Gosh, it was worth every second. I'm just excited to kind of get out the way now, and I can get back in the rhythm of things because the last 2 years was different with rehab, and now, like a computer, I have to reprogram my approach to everything, and that's a blessing. So I'm very thankful for that ovation and the love they showered me with tonight, and I will never forget that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I think I speak for most Warrior fans, Clay. We won't forget it either. That was January 9th, 2022, after 2.5 years, missing 2.5 seasons. He came back against the Cleveland Cavaliers again on January 9th, 2022, and was his normal Klay self. He even dunked on somebody in the first quarter. It was an incredible moment.
Jared Allen, right?
I think he drove past Jared Allen and put him on a poster. Yeah. And that's a pretty good defender there, too, Jared Allen.
And Klay was never even really an above the rim guy, even pre-injury. So that was all adrenaline.
It was. And there's so many emotions that go with being a sports fan and watching your favorite team win championships and watching incredible moments and record-breaking moments. And Klay has had all of those moments. But Dibs and Jason, as we welcome you back to Willard and Dibs, it's Grandy, Dibs, and Dumas with you in for Mark Willard today. For me, that's the most emotional I've ever been watching a sporting event. It's Klay returning to the floor, and it's different for Klay than almost anybody else, because while everyone loves the sport that they play, generally speaking, if you're a professional athlete, I'm not sure there is anyone out there who loves something more than Klay loves playing basketball. And to see after 2.5 years of that being taken away for him, to see him realize that dream once again, and the way that the Warrior fans inside of Chase Center welcomed him back and showered him with applause, it is something, as long as I live, I will never forget the feeling of watching that in that moment.
I mean, pretty spectacular, and it was 941 days, and you think about, you know, that long, 2.5 years, and you think about, and as Jason's going through it right now with his Achilles rehab, and we talked during the break about the painstaking approach to it, the day by day, the minutia, whatever, and Clay did it once and almost was all the way back, and he had to do it again. Man. And so you're out 941 days. And the thing about Clay that always strikes me, and you know, Jason, you know him far better than I do, or than Mark does, having covered him, but it's just, it feels like he is one of us, like he's a regular dude. You know, I mean, I know he's a spectacular athlete, son of an NBA player, and all the rest of it. He's a yachtsman, and he's a multi-millionaire, but when you see him around town, you see him with his dog, you see him just being a person, he has a certain ability to connect, I think, with the average person. Like, if he wasn't 6'6", you wouldn't think that he was this unbelievably spectacular athlete. But, you know, he's Klay Thompson. He feels like he's just one of us. And so him leaving, that part of it is what hits me maybe more than the basketball part, is just Klay as a Bay Area guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard stories about him out in the Bay Area, and he does seem very personable. Of course, you know, covering him as a basketball player. Like I said, I've only been here 6 years now, so it's a little less than half of his career. My first season covering the team was the year they went to the finals and played against the Raptors. So I was here for that year. And I mean, that was a very weird year because it was Kevin Durant's last season, and everybody knew Kevin Durant was leaving, especially as the year went on. So it was actually kind of an awkward team to cover. They were never really in good moods that year. Just like looking back, Kev was always kind of a curmudgeon that season. He just was.
Well, there was the whole Draymond Kevin Durant beef that year.
And that him and Draymond got in that very public spat. DeMarcus Cousins was on that team. Not the friendliest. You know, he doesn't love talking to the media. It was, honestly, it was an awkward team to cover. They were really good, obviously, and they went to the finals because they're better than everybody else, but didn't seem like chemistry was an all-time high. A lot of veterans, so when it's like a very veteran-heavy team, like, they were dreading media sessions, especially All-Star break on. They were just dreading media sessions. So it wasn't that, like, you weren't getting great quotes and you're getting a lot of short answers, pushbacks. I can only speak for myself. Granted, I'm a new guy on the beat, not a new guy in the profession, but a new guy on the beat. I was constantly getting the impression that I was annoying people. Like, just when I'm trying to talk to them and stuff, they don't want to be here. They're only here because they have to. Like, I haven't gotten that impression with many of the guys recently, but that team, it was kind of, I did not like covering that team. Then you had two like COVID years, which was a little weird.
Yeah. Doing it through Zoom
a lot of Zoom stuff. But even those teams, like, I enjoyed covering. Remember when Steve Kerr said, and he got misquoted, so it kind of the actual intent behind the quote got misconstrued, but remember when Steve Kerr said he almost enjoyed coaching that COVID team more than Kevin Durant? Now, he got misquoted, and one of these aggregation accounts.
Steve Kerr takes a shot at Kevin Durant.
Yeah, like NBA Central, which which does it to me all the time. You just got to mute the tweet. But they, you know, picked up Kevin Durant, you know, takes a shot at Kevin Durant. That wasn't what Steve Kerr meant. But it was like, I understood him because I enjoyed covering that first COVID year team that
was terrible.
Even though
they won like 20 games
or whatever. Yeah, with Kai Bowman and Pascal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Glenn Robinson.
Because they were just more of a pleasure to cover. Like, Steve probably was like, this team is more of a pleasure to coach. Don't misquote me, anybody. I have nothing to do with Kevin Durant. But that's what I think he meant. And then as Dems, once we, the first year we really got out of the COVID stuff was the year they won the championship.
Yeah.
And that team was just a pleasure to cover. Like, great guys. JTA, Damian Lee, Jordan Poole was a lot of fun covering. Andrew Wiggins, you know, he's kind of introverted, but It's cool. Steph is always great. Clay was awesome once he came back because it was not, it was all like celebrations, really. It's like Clay's finally
back. He couldn't even hide his joy at that point.
Right. So that was a fun team. And then all the other teams since then have been really fun. So I've gotten to know Clay through that professional standpoint. And it's always been good. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years, there was a little more of that same type of energy that I felt covering that 2019 team because the chemistry wasn't great on that team. And obviously Kevin Durant, that whole situation of, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? He hated it. Him and Draymond kind of had that weird relationship.
Right.
So when it pertains to just Clay, the last 2 years kind of felt a little like 2019, not the team overall, but just Clay, because even we just were talking about TK and, you know, he's one of us with Odyssey. Like, I remember Tim, he was the first person this past year to kind of give a little pushback on Clay in terms of possibly coming off the bench, and Clay just kind of snapped at him.
So you're going to do bench me?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. So, you know, getting Clay up to the podium was not always the easiest. Now, this is just things I see firsthand. Hey, you got to do media. I doubt Clay was ever the first one rushing to the podium, but it's not a report, but I would say a pretty good educated statement based on being around the team that this past year was probably a little tougher than any year to get Clay to talk. So, you know, it's one of those relationships with Clay. I mean, I wish him the best, obviously.
And right.
It's I'm doing a job, he's doing a job, but that's where some of my comments stem from, where I say you can see the writing on the wall a little bit, because just the temperament up and down, never know what you're getting. You know, the whispers that, you know, they're trying to change his role and he's pushing back. So you can kind of, when you look back at it, you're not thinking it in the moment in real time. But when you look back and
it
you remember,
all starts to make sense.
You're like, I remember that.
And putting puzzle pieces together.
And I get the frustration too. And you guys were talking before about the Toronto series. And I just was refreshing my own brain with the numbers. And he played in 5 of the 6 games.
He missed game 3.
He had the hamstring. Yeah. He averaged 26 a game in that series, even though...
Which series is this?
This is the Toronto series, the one that you started on the BIA, the 2019 finals. And you actually made the call before that he was probably their best player in that series. And, you know, KD gets hurt in game 5, and then Clay famously goes out in game 6, and yet you still had a good chance to win that series. But Clay was unbelievable in that series, averaging 26 a game. So as we talk about his frustration, he thinks about like all he did for the organization, including helping them get one more title, the 4th title, and that now, you know, it seems like he's somewhat disposable at the end of it.
And remember that viral moment he had with Drake during that finals,
right,
when they're all coming off the floor, and he was like, "How you like that, Aubrey?" said something along those lines. And I was right there. I was right there.
That was game 5 in Toronto?
I think that was like game 2. I think it was after game 2 because they lost game 1. And then they came back and won game 2. So I'm fairly certain it was after game 2. You can actually search that video on my Twitter. I tweeted that. It went viral. I think that was like my first viral moment covering this team.
Nice.
All thanks to Clay.
All thanks to Clay. He always had that funny personality. And he's always been like uber competitive. Like, he wasn't really joking when he said that to Drake. He was, like, kind of pissed off because Drake was, like, kind of talking trash the first game, and he was talking trash most of the second, because for a while it looked like the Raptors were going to go up 2-0. I think it was Iguodala hit that 3 when they were up by 1 to put them up 4 with, like, you know, 1 possession left that kind of put it out of reach. I remember it vividly. And, you had Clay chirping to Drake at the end of that game. So it was really cool. So covering that was another moment that I always remember with Clay.
And then game 5 of that series, so game 6 obviously is when he tore his ACL, but game 5 in Toronto, down 3-1, Clay essentially hit the game winner. It was tied with like 50 seconds left.
They hit 3 threes in a row between him and Steph.
Yeah, and I remember the last one, to give him the lead, kick it out. I think Draymond kicked it out to him on the left wing. Kawhi's coming out to close out on him. He gives him a little pump fake. One dribble left.
Yep.
Hits the three all net. And Steph was already walking down the floor the other way before it even went in because he knew that it was Klay wide open, a clutch shot. He's going to hit it. He hit it. Warriors win that game. They go back home for game six. And who knows, if he doesn't get hurt, they might win game six. They might go back to Toronto and win game seven. That's how good Klay Thompson was playing in that moment.
And remember, they won that game five with KD playing just 12 minutes because he tears the Achilles. And DeMarcus Cousins, 14 off the bench in his brightest moment as a Warrior.
And that was when post-game, the series wasn't over, but post-game you have Bob Myers on the podium crying. Right. Because KD tore his Achilles, and the next day, the next game, Klay tears his ACL. Man, that series was an emotional wreck for everybody involved. And the Warriors ultimately lost that one in six games. But it provided some incredible Klay moments, and there's so many to sort through in Klay's 13 years with the Warriors. But his time in Golden State has come to an end, as he is intending to sign a three-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. All right, we got full line. Let's go out to the callers here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dumas and Grandy in for Willard alongside Dan Dibley, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. Up first is Mike in Maryland. Mike, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
We're doing all right. We're sorting through our emotions here with Klay. What do you got, Mike?
I mean, I just want to say that, you know, first off, what's up, Jason? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Mikey?
I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voice. So my question to you, I know you already said this earlier, but you're not a numbers guy, but what do you think the next move is? Give it 2 years, 3 years. What's the positioning down the line for the Golden State Warriors? How are they going to get over this, and how are they going to get ahead of this? How are they going to make this a profitable experience through everything that's going on?
That's a great question. Well, I think first and foremost, you got to see where Steph Curry is at. You know, the fan base, they want this organization to maximize Steph Curry's prime. And he's still at the prime. Obviously, his best years are probably behind him. I don't think that's a controversial statement to make. But he's still playing at a level in which he can be your best player and you guys can win high-level games if you surround him with the right pieces. So that's really, I mean, if I'm a decision maker, that is the route that I'm taking. How do we maximize Steph? Now, over the last 2 days, doesn't really look like they were maximizing Steph. Not Paul George. Obviously, Klay and Chris Paul leaving for nothing.
You turned down LaVine.
So, I mean, that's what I would do. I know their owner, Joe Lacob, is very much mindful of what he is paying. And he's probably looking at it from a standpoint of, I have paid big time money over the last couple years and we haven't gotten big time results. And I am not the type of guy to count somebody's pockets and tell him how he can spend his money. Who knows? I'm not putting words into Joe Lacob's mouth, but maybe he's like, we've won 4 NBA championships. I need some relief on my pockets over the last 2 years. So that's really, there's only two routes you could go, to saving money and investing in the future, or trying to get the most out of Steph Curry's prime, which I think most people are hoping.
You're hoping for that, but I don't begrudge him for trying to get out of the second apron, and now they're hard capped below the first apron, which is what, 178 or
178.132.
Thank you, exactly, Mark Grandy, with the exact numbers, and so that's where they're going to be this year. And I don't look at Joe Lacob making that choice and think, "Wow, you cheapskate," because he spent $400 million last year in salary and taxes, and they were a 10 seed. So I think that this was going to be the way they were going to go, unless they could have swung something for Paul George. And I also look at the landscape in the NBA and mainly just the Western Conference. And why would these competitive teams, these teams that are battling for Western Conference seeds with the Warriors, why would they go out of their way to help the Golden State Warriors by trading one of your best players to the Warriors? So that didn't surprise me at all that they couldn't land Paul George, even though they reportedly kept upping their offer. And, you know, Kuminga was a part of it, and Wiggins, or Kuminga or Wiggins, and Moody and picks and all these other assets, and still they couldn't get it done.
Yeah. So how do the Warriors get in this position? First of all, where they're at as a team and as a basketball organization, as a 10 seed, now you say bye to Chris Paul and you say bye to Klay Thompson. You bring in the D'Anthony Melton. That's it so far in terms of acquisitions. We still don't know exactly who will be coming back to the Warriors via the Klay Thompson sign-in trade, which is a three-team deal with the Mavericks and the Charlotte Hornets. If it is a player, it's not going to be a needle mover at all. But how did the Warriors get in this spot where they're at as a basketball team, but also where Klay Thompson was willing to leave and maybe take less elsewhere? Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. John in San Francisco is up next. What's up, John? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Really appreciate that. Sorry for puffing. I was just working out, and then you guys called my name. So, but this message is for Dumas. Since you work closely with the Warriors, and I've been a fan since back in Run TMC, Monte and Steph Curry, what really pissed me off was the fact that they were going to place Klay Thompson as a sixth man and play Brandon Pajemski as a starter. Not because I hate Pajemski, because I like the guy, but man, we're going back to playing small ball, which doesn't win NBA championships, let alone playoffs. And so why not, Moody? Why not shoot for bigger wings that play defense or centers? Because that's our biggest downfall, is the fact that we're too small. So I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, first and foremost, good for you. Sounds like you're getting it in.
I know.
In the weight room.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's a cardio day.
I actually tend to agree with him. And it's not an indictment on Brandon Pajemski. He's a great player. I was fully invested in the Warriors drafting him. I covered him in Santa Clara, and we were always at his games, Crown Four. So I've known about Brandon Pajemski. I've known his family way before the Warriors called his name. So I was all proponent of that. Yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
So
give me a couple of those.
So it's not an indictment on him, but I've been the biggest Moses Moody advocate. I don't think he's gotten a fair shake with the organization, for better or for worse. That's just my opinion. And I would love to see him get a bigger role and actually a fair one. I feel like Moses has kind of just been the guy, just do what the coach tells me, and whether it's in the rotation one day. I mean, even Steve Kerr himself, this isn't a hot take, Steve Kerr himself has said, like, Moses has been a casualty of this roster and some of the other guys. And let's face it, Moses is a little more like Kevon Looney in temperament, where he's willing to do whatever the team
needs to do. Not going
to
make a fuss about it.
Not going to make a fuss. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga, he's going right to the San Francisco Chronicle. He's going right to the Athletic. I've lost trust. So like, maybe Moody would have forced his hand a little more if he was like that, but the organization is lucky. Moses Moody, that's not in his personality. But I do hope he gets more of a chance this year to be a mainstay, because I see guys in Dallas and I see guys in Denver who I think Moses Moody is just as good and flourish. And I think Moses, remember, he was a lottery pick right out of his freshman year. From early high school, he was regarded as one of the best players in his class, McDonald's All-American type. So, like, Moses Moody is not a guy who, obviously, once you get to the NBA, obviously you got to put it all together and none of that matters. But it's not like he was coming to the Warriors without credentials. Anybody who has followed grassroots basketball and watched college basketball knows Moses Moody. He's very, very credentialed player.
Yeah.
So I do think Moses Moody can be a huge asset if trusted a little more and let fail. You know, if he has a 6-7 bad game stretch, don't bury him on the bench. Let him play through it. I think if you let him have that type of role on this team, maybe year one of that role, it might not be Klay Thompson, probably won't be Klay Thompson, but I think eventually you can get Moses Moody to be a really good rotational piece.
And maybe now you have to recalibrate the way you look at these young guys, because you're probably not in the same championship window that you thought you were. And if you don't have Clay and Chris Paul is gone and maybe you don't add anybody else here over the course of the next week or so, and you start to look at your own assets, and everyone's going to have to step up and contribute more.
Who's going to be a backup secondary ball handler? Is it going to be Pajemski? But Pajemski's going to start. I don't know who the hell is going to handle the ball beyond Stephen Curry. And you like to have Stephen Curry off the ball a lot as well. That's when he's at his best at times. So that's a question the Warriors have to answer. Bottom line, if this team doesn't go out and make a major move, and we can get into this in a little bit, Lauri Markkanen potentially maybe on the block for the Utah Jazz. Depends what they want back. Danny Ainge, a noted stickler for making trades like this, he's going to ask for the world. If the Warriors do that, okay, that answers a question. But if the Warriors, for the most part, stay as is, what you guys are talking about, Moody improving, Kuminga improving, Pajemski improving, Trayce Jackson-Davis improving, that's about what the Warriors are going to need for this to even, you know, be a net neutral. Losing Clay, losing CP3, you're going to need your youth to improve to even be the same kind of team you were just a year ago. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs along with Dumas and Grandy here on 95.7. The Game are with you until 6. So another hour and a half talking Clay, how the Warriors got to this point, your Clay memories, what moment sticks out to you. We'll take your calls on that, 888-957-9570. And reminder, our Warriors offseason summit is a week away on Monday, July 8th on the rooftop terrace of Fremont Bank's state-of-the-art new headquarters. It starts at 2 with Willard and Dibs, and the rest of the crew stops by from 4 to 6. Go to 957thegame.com to reserve your free spot today. More Willard and Dibs next on 957 The Game.
The trailing three buried it. Money. The net's not even moving. It's not even moving. Back to Clay. It's a corner three, and yes, it is a swish. Ball comes inside. Thompson goes outside. Catches it. Hits a three. Design play right out of the timeout. He just can't miss. Clay Thompson turns, catches, says, no, I'm going to hit a shot, and it's another three. Clay Thompson open three, and right up home another one. Curry, timeline, three-point line, finds Clay, quick release, and a splash! He's tied the NBA record, held by Curry with 13 threes.
Right from the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Side play, takes a dribble, now the three, got it! An NBA record for Klay Thompson, 14 threes! Chicago calls time, and to a man, every player off the Warriors bench congratulates Klay Thompson, who is breaking Steph Curry's record.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was the great Tim Roy calling a historic moment for Klay Thompson in Chicago against the Bulls. That was October 29th, 2018. Klay Thompson, an NBA record, 14 made threes in a single game, passing Steph Curry's record of 13, as you heard Tim Roy talk about. And we're thinking about all these Klay moments, and there was the 37 points in the third. There was 60 points against the Pacers on like eight dribbles or whatever it was over the course of three quarters. There was that where he made 14 threes. There was a game where he went 10 for 10 from deep to begin. He made his first 10 attempts from downtown. There was other moments, obviously, so many funny moments. But I think what gets to me the most, guys, and welcome back to Willard and Dibs, it's Dibs and Dumas, Mark Randy here as well, in for Mark Willard on 95.7 The Game. What gets me is in moments like that where Klay's making 14 threes or where he's scoring 60 points over three quarters, it's the joy of everybody around him just reveling in Klay's success. And it's Steph, no matter what the situation is. And Steph's the greatest shooter this game has ever seen. But it's overly eager trying to find Klay and get him the ball in those moments. And Klay celebrating, Draymond celebrating back in the day, you know, Barbosa and Livingston and Spates and all those guys celebrating as one and so happy for Klay's success and being selfless enough to find the hot hand. And it was Klay on those moments, just watching the whole team celebrate together while Klay makes history like he did on that night in Chicago. It was special to enjoy.
Something about a Klay heater hits differently than any other player. Mm-hmm. Even Steph, when Steph gets hot, it's usually, oh my God, 30-footer, 35-footer, 40-footer, whatever. But with Klay, like Tim just said in that call in the play-by-play, the net doesn't even move. And something about his shot, just the pure, and I would say robotic, but people would take that the wrong way. But his shot is so pure. It's so fundamentally
smooth,
perfect. Yeah, and it's the same every time. And when he starts to get in that rhythm on that Klay heater, when he just is like locked in, arm goes up and you know it's going in, and the net barely even moves. And that's where you see his teammates and they start to feel it. Like the 37 point quarter is one that I love to just watch again and again, because everybody's like going way out of their way to make sure that he has the ball.
And the Kings know what's coming, and
they can't
matter.
Stop him. No, he's just chucking it in from everywhere. It's just awesome.
Oh, those are the best moments, no doubt. Klay's given us a ton of incredible moments, and we're talking about it. Of course, if you're just joining us, Klay Thompson has agreed to sign a 3-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. It's not official just yet because it is a three-team deal. It's a trade because the way that Klay is going to the Mavericks for that amount of money, $50 million over 3 years, it has to be a sign-in trade. The third team involved in the sign-in trade is the Charlotte Hornets. They are getting Josh Green from the Mavericks, but the return to the Golden State Warriors, we don't know that just yet. But the deal itself is not like hanging in the balance. Klay Thompson will be a Dallas Maverick. It's just putting the finishing touches on the return to the Golden State Warriors. So we're taking your phone calls all day. Klay Thompson memories, Klay Thompson moments. Are you have you come to the conclusion this is just what had to happen, or had a situation where the Warriors organization has to move on? Who do you blame? Is it on Clay? Is he being petty? Is it on the Warriors for not treating him with enough respect? What? How you feeling in this moment? What are your emotions now that Clay Thompson is leaving the Golden State Warriors? More on that in just a second, but I did want to remind you that all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? It's River Islands in Lathrop. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Up next, we've got Steve in San Jose. I know Steve wants to talk about Clay Thompson. Go ahead, Steve. You got the floor.
All right, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to give my little shout out to Clay, man. It's been a great decade. And like I said, you know, the first time I went to a Warriors game was my 8th birthday in 96. I watched Jordan and Kukoc, Pippen, Steve Kerr himself murder the Warriors. They couldn't even sell a ticket. So I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Clay. It's been the best decade of my life. Him, you know, Curry, Green, everyone. God, it's been such a great run, and he deserves every nickel he can get. Man, it's a tough day. Hopefully there'll be a statue. I know there will be, in front of the Chase Center. But it's just been, it's been a great run. It's bittersweet, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I think a lot of Warrior fans are right there with you, Steve. Appreciate the call. I don't want to cut you off. I want to react to what you said, but we do have a little bit of breaking news.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
We do have the return to the Warriors on the Klay Thompson three-team sign and trade. This comes courtesy of Shams Charania. The Warriors are getting back in return for Klay Thompson, who signed a three-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. The Warriors are getting two second-round picks in return, and that is it. That completes the three-team trade.
Klay Thompson, that is it.
That's it. Klay Thompson goes to the Mavericks. Josh Green goes to the Hornets and the Warriors, as was reported, we're not interested in taking salary back. They get two second round picks, and now that sign-in trade and the three-team deal that sends Clay to Dallas can officially be finalized.
There you go. I mean, two second round picks. If you get three more second round picks, then you can go out and get a player like Gary Payton II. So there you have it. And Mark and I were going back and forth last week, Mark Willard, not Mark Grandy, about the value of the second round pick, because he was saying that the Lakers are squandering an asset set to draft Bronny James. And I said second round picks are usually 95% of the time they're meaningless. And this kind of cements my point where you get two second round picks back from Dallas, and largely your second round pick is not going to pan out. So
I mean, the Warriors' recent second round pick is probably going to be their starting center next year.
Right.
Trace Jackson
right.
Davis. So there's an argument to be made that if you have a good scouting department, second round picks can be valuable. I get your overall arching point. Yeah, obviously, yeah, the percentages just go down once you get to the second round, but you can still find some talent in that second round. I mean, this is just a sign that finances were one of the most important things, because was there anybody who was probably going to move the needle on that Mavericks roster or even the Charlotte roster that would be realistic to bring back? Probably not. I think I saw like Maxi Kleber
would be, yeah.
Josh Green, who ended up going to Charlotte. Yeah.
But you could have just cut Charlotte out. I mean, Charlotte's only in there
right
to save salary from Dallas. That's it.
Yeah. So
the Warriors would rather take no money back, get 2 second round picks, than take Josh Green.
That's what it sounds like. So that tells you all you need to know.
Exactly.
Tells you all you need to know, really. So, I mean, it shouldn't be super surprising. It's still one of those things, once you hear it, it's kind of jarring. But Joe Lacob told us this. He told us. He was like, I am not going to be a mediocre team and pay the most in the NBA. That is not something I have any interest in doing ever again.
He's also said he doesn't want to ever be a lottery team.
Yeah, that's also true.
So I guess you got to choose between lesser of two evils. Do you want to be paying out the wazoo for a team that is a little bit better, or you want to save a little bit of money and be a team that potentially isn't very good?
The way he sees it, they'd probably still be a lottery team with Josh Green.
Yes.
So it's
moved Josh Green way. doesn't move the needle. You're right.
So, yeah. I mean, I know it's not the first. It's, I know those aren't the words that Warriors fans want to hear, but it sounds like it's simply the reality, which is what matters more.
Then the question becomes, what is the move to follow this? Is there a move to follow this? Because if you're just going into next season and you still got, what is it, the biannual exception because you're over the cap, but you're below the first apron, that's almost $5 million. You can use that on a player if you want, but a $5 million player, 4.7 to be exact, isn't going to change the fortunes of this team moving forward. You got nothing in return for Chris Paul. You get two second-round picks, excuse me, in return for Klay Thompson. So your two chips that you had to gain players back easily, you essentially get nothing back for them other than those 2 second round picks. Maybe it's what we were talking about last segment. You're just relying on your youngsters to all collectively improve, and that's where you get better as a team. I mean, it was what Mike Dunleavy said last week, asked what's the easiest way for your team to get better. Is it trades? And he says, trades are hard. It's internal development.
Yes.
That's the easiest way for us to get better. So maybe to what Jason's saying, believe Joe Lacob when he says he wants to get out of the tax. Believe Mike Dunleavy when he says internal development is the best way to go.
Yeah.
But you lose Klay, you lose CP3, you get D'Anthony Melton back. It's hard for me to believe, Dibs, that this is going to be a team that's on the same level even as they were last year.
No, not as currently constructed, unless you're asking Moses Moody to take a big step forward and Pods and TJD both get better and Kuminga becomes your real number two. And then you add into that, Andrew Wiggins plays a motivated brand of basketball and Draymond Green stays out of trouble.
It's a lot of ifs.
And if you want to...
We've been down that road on a couple of those ifs already.
We did that last
with
year.
And Draymond.
We did all those ifs, and so if you want to have everything, if you want to play the everything goes right game going into next year, you could possibly be a playoff team. I mean, I think your top end, your ceiling would be a top six seed. If everything went right, and you have an older team that stays healthy, and you get these young guys take those steps forward, okay, I could see you being maybe a six seed and being at the bottom end of it, but for me, a more likely scenario is that everything doesn't go great. You've got a 36, 37-year-old Steph Curry who's been largely healthy. And Draymond Green, even when he has been out of trouble, the guy gets ice every time he comes off the floor. Multiple ice bags. He's got, you know, two in the knees and one in the back. And so you're asking an older team to stay healthy, and you're expecting all these young players to take steps up. As it looks right now, this is a lottery team to me.
Yeah, I'll let you jump in a second, Jason. I do have a little bit more news. This comes courtesy of Mark Stein. Because the Warriors shipped out Klay Thompson, who's making nearly $17 million a year now, and took no salary back in return, the biggest piece of return coming for the Golden State Warriors here is as a result of doing that, sending out salary and taking none back in return, they have created a trade exception for just shy of $16 million that they can now use moving forward. So they have nearly a $16 million trade exception that they can use to sign a player, a couple of players, a few players to equal no more than whatever that amount is, just shy of $16 million. So that in and of itself is by far more valuable than the 2 second round picks.
It is. You know, now you got to wonder if they'll use it. That's the next question. You got to wonder if they'll use it. I mean,
I think with the rules, it expires after a year. So okay. You have up to a year to use it, but you don't use it now.
Didn't the Warriors have some sort of exception like 2 years ago? I guess that's 1 year ago now. Bob Myers last season, didn't they have some sort of exception?
I think they have at times let exceptions expire.
I think they just did that with Bob Myers like a year and a half ago. So don't automatically assume they'll use it. Granted, I don't think it was $16 million, but I mean, right now they've turned Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson into a trade exception, really.
And two second round picks.
And two second round picks. So that's hard for Warriors fans to stomach, and rightfully so, especially with a fan base that is used to seeing their team compete and be all in for championships. Granted, even with Clay back. So, like, I mean, the Clay piece of the puzzle is significant because of who Clay is to this organization. But even with Clay back, they probably weren't going to contend for a championship. You got to see what they can do with this trade exception. I know you've mentioned marketing. That doesn't seem realistic to me. I know he's being, like Utah said, he can be had essentially, but it sounds like they want a king's ransom. So who knows, but you got to hope Mike Dunleavy is working the phones to try to just upgrade this roster, because as is, this roster is not one that's going to compete.
Yeah, for sure. And even if you get a player who is making that $16 million neighborhood of a salary, that's not really that impactful of a player. And I look at, you know, what salaries are going for, and obviously Lauri Markkanen would be the big name, and he makes about that, and his contract is set to explode, and that would certainly put you back over the second apron once that contract did kick in. But the majority of players out there, like Isaiah Hartenstein, he's making almost $30 million in his new deal. So $16 million doesn't get you what it used to.
Hartenstein had a really good postseason. Yeah, you know, I mean, with the $16 million, you got to hope you can find someone on a bargain and who just severely outplays their contract. Like, for instance, the year they won the championship, they had GP2 for pennies, and he outplayed his contract. And, you know, that's what you have to hope for. You also have to hope for Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski to take some big leaps forward, which, if they did, I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility. Maybe without Clay being there, maybe it's more likely that one of them takes a huge leap. I mean, Pajemski's probably going to take a huge leap just based on the fact that he's had his rookie year, and now he's seen the NBA, and he's a little more comfortable, and he has a coach who really believes in him and is going to let him play through some struggles.
Looking at just some numbers, so nearly $16 million is the Warriors' trade exception that they gained via the Klay Thompson sign and trade. Some numbers of players right now that are making in that neighborhood a little more than $16 million. Kevin Huerter of the Kings, Zach Collins, Caris LeVert, Lou Dort, Tim Hardaway Jr., Davis Bertans, PJ Washington, that's a pretty good value, PJ Washington, Grayson Allen is there, Max Strus, Dorian Finney-Smith, Luke Kennard, Mitchell Robinson, Jordan Clarkson. Those are kind of the quality of players that can be had at around the $16 million mark. And to your guys' points, while you can have, you know, a quality player there, and maybe you get lucky and you get a bargain, as you're talking about, you got one with GP2 back then, like Dallas has with PJ Washington, who's making in that area of money, it's still probably not going to be a guy that takes you from the 10th seed to the 5th seed in the Western Conference. Maybe it's someone that takes you from the 10th to the 8th seed, maybe if you get lucky, but it's not like this is going to be the piece that moves the Warriors' needle so far forward. So for me, guys, as I look ahead, I got to believe there's a big move coming, unless this Warriors team is one, either extremely confident in their youngsters, or two, is comfortable, you know, being under the assumption that they're not going to be competing for a championship this coming season.
Absolutely.
That feels more likely than the former, because trades are hard, as we know. And, you know, Mike Dunleavy said it.
He said it.
And I think
he was letting us know early.
He was. And I think that you look at the Lauri Markkanen trade, and what's Utah going to want, and whatever it is that you would give up for Lauri Markkanen, how much of that is going to hurt your chance at even being competitive this year? Because if Kuminga's involved, and or Moody, and or multiple picks, and I don't know if Utah would be happy with the second round picks that you just acquired, but feels like whatever you would have to give up would hurt your chance to be good this year anyway.
There's no way you could get like DeMar DeRozan, right?
I mean,
with that exception. I'm not the numbers
not
guy.
Not with that exception. He was going to make more than that.
Right.
You could use it as a piece.
Yeah.
But,
man, I mean, the pathway for them to get someone to move the needle was already really, really hard going into this offseason, just when you consider the finances and the assets that they had. That's why when this Paul George thing became a possibility, I was just thrilled. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is really going to work out for the Warriors. Because at one point, it really sounded like it was going to happen based on reporting. I had no inside knowledge or sources on that. But it sounded like it was going to happen. And then it didn't. And when it didn't, it caused, I'm not going to say that alone caused them to lose Klay Thompson, but that probably didn't help. And then you're down Klay. And then at one point you also thought maybe you could use CP3 in that trade to get Paul George. So CP3 wouldn't be looked at as a, as an asset that just went away for nothing. And there was reports of him being very much open to a reunion with Los Angeles. I know that's where he spends most of his offseason in LA in Southern California. I'm pretty sure that's where his kids are in school and stuff. So you hear all that and you're thinking, all right, Chris Paul is going to help them get Paul George. They might lose Klay, but at least they lost Klay because they pursued Paul George. I think that would be, maybe not everybody would be happy because of the emotional attachment to Klay Thompson, but I think most rational-minded people could get behind that. Man, it stunk we lost Klay Thompson, but we're getting Paul George. He's a very good player, and he's objectively better than Klay Thompson at this point in their careers. But once that move did happen, once you start trying to realistically think of a pathway for them to get a player who will help them move up the standings, it's hard. Can you think of anything? Because like Lauri doesn't seem like a realistic option. Not with how the Jazz has been viewing him in the trade market.
Well, the reports were that their asking price is coming down a little bit, but their asking price to begin with was incredibly high. So right. It's still probably pretty high. But they were asking for what, like four or five first round picks?
I just saw a possibility, a proposed deal, which would be Kuminga, Moody, and two unprotected first round picks. Now, would the Warriors be open to that? And you're making a face over there, Jason. I can see the computer working over there. It feels like the price is fairly steep. Markkanen is a great player. He's a difference maker. But you'd be giving up Kuminga and Moody, who I know you love Moody. You're the president of the Moses Moody fan club.
I love Moody, but I mean, I wouldn't think twice about giving him up because I don't think the Warriors have valued him. So like, yeah, I love Moody, but the way Moody has been used the past 2 years, it's like, who cares if I love him? It seems like the guys who matter way more don't love him as much as I do. So it's almost like useless. So I don't know. I really like Kuminga too. I don't know. That's one of those things I would have to think hard about.
I'd do it.
Yeah. That's something I would put the onus on Steph. Sorry. I wouldn't have the gumption to make. I would go to Steph and be like,
assuming Steph is cool with it and cool. I don't know why you wouldn't shipping off Kuminga and Moody. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Do whatever Steph wants. And I assume Steph wants the best chance to try to win right now. And I'm sorry, but Lauri Markkanen, 27 years old, has already been an all-star. I think he gives you a better chance to win than Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga do. But I get being hesitant to do it because you're giving up two of your valuable pieces for the future, and it would be a draft pick or two in the future as well. So I get the hesitation. We could talk more about that when we come back from a quick break. We also got some phone calls to clean up. Austin and Horace and Jonathan, I see you. We're coming to you on the other side. If you just missed it, Klay Thompson, the sign-in trade to the Mavericks is official. The Warriors get back two second-round picks, and they create a nearly $16 million trade exception, and Klay Thompson now is cleared officially to become a member of the Dallas Mavericks. Time for a break. When we come back, more on all of that. It's Willard and Dibs with Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.